Hey, good morning, Las Vegas. You're listening to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast, a programming effort of the Church at Las Vegas to proclaim that God is good, His grace is amazing, His love is available, and the power of the good news about Jesus is real and can and does change our lives.
Vegas. This is John Racine with the Church of Las Vegas. So glad you've tuned in to listen this morning to the Solid Rock Gospel Broadcast. I hope you had a wonderful Thanksgiving. What a great time of the year to spend feasting and sharing and being with family. And yet at the same time, we should always be thankful. We should always have a grateful, thankful spirit, because when we don't, it just makes life that much more difficult for us and everybody else around us. How much better it would be if people would give thanks and find things to appreciate rather than being critical and negative and pessimistic and everything else. I'm not saying that we shouldn't be realists. I mean, there's a lot of things in the world to be critical of, but just don't let that spirit control your heart. And it's very easy to if you get sucked up into it. So give thanks in all circumstances, the Bible says, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So again, I hope you had a great Thanksgiving. Before we start our lesson today in James chapter 1, starting in verse 27, I wanted to read this little thing about electricity. It says, "I don't understand electricity, but I know it works. A flip of a switch brings light into a room or sends sound through a microphone. I don't understand God's power, but I know He's the omnipotent one. He provides power needed for every task, every situation. When an electrical appliance fails to work, the first checkpoint is whether or not it is plugged into the source of power. So it is with our lives. If things aren't working properly, we must check to be sure we're properly connected to the eternal source of power and filled daily with the Spirit. There's never a power shortage with God." And so, you know, I hope you understand that with electricity, we can't see it. We certainly know at this time of the year when it's so dry, the static electricity, I've about shocked my finger off a couple of times, turning on a light socket or otherwise. But we know that electricity powers our lights. It's what's powering the microphone that I'm speaking into right now. And so many other things. We don't exactly know how it works, but we know it works. And so it is with God's power, that He provides power for every task, for every situation. And again, if life doesn't just seem to be working out the way that it ought to, then maybe you need to check your power source. Maybe you need to figure out if the cord's loose, as it were. If maybe you're not really connected in with God. You know He's there, but you've kind of kept Him at arm's length. You know that you're playing around with things that you shouldn't be playing around with, and yet you know that if you could get plugged back in, that God would bless you to be able to have the life that He intends for you. This ties right in with what we've been talking about in James chapter 1. In verse 26, we talked about the fact that if anyone considers himself religious and yet does not keep a tight rein on his tongue, he deceives himself and his religion is worthless. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So when it says that there's religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless, it's the opposite of religion that people consider themselves having. You see, God's religion, the religion that He accepts as pure and faultless as this is to look after others. You see, life is not just about us. And yet, that's how many times we live. It's how a lot of the world lives. It's just about me. It's about my selfish wants and desires. But religion, or a way of life that God accepts, is looking for others. It's a practical, simple way to live before God and before men. And you'll notice that it says there, religion that God our Father accepts. Okay, there's religion that God doesn't accept. Okay, he told the Pharisees, Jesus did, that every plant that my heavenly Father hasn't planted will be pulled up by the roots. And he also told his disciples, leave them there, blind guides. If a blind man leads a blind man, they'll both end up in the ditch. And so that's not what we want. It's not what we're interested in. And so we want a religion that's pure and faultless. To here is just a few things. It's not everything, but he says, religion that's pure and faultless is this, to look after orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. So when we get back from listening to this first song by Jonathan Thulin called Architecture, we'll talk more about that. And aren't you glad that God is the great architect, that he has an amazing plan and purpose for humanity? Let's listen to this song called Architecture.
Glimpse at the heart of your design. So here I stand on what you build. You are surrounding me, and the walls will never, ever, ever come down. You build me up like a city of gold. The battles rage, but I'm standing tall.
Come down. You build me up like a city of gold.
All right, we're back this morning after listening to Architecture, and let's go ahead and consider some more here in James chapter 1 and verse 27, where it tells us that religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now, Jesus had something to say about this in his Sermon on the Mount. In his Sermon on the Mount, in Matthew chapter 6, as it's recorded, Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 1, Jesus said, "Be careful not to do your acts of righteousness before men to be seen by them. If you do, you will have no reward from your Father in heaven. So when you give to the needy, do not announce it with trumpets, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and on the streets, to be honored by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you give to the needy, do not let your left hand know what your right hand is doing, so that your giving may be in secret. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you." So again, if you're just doing your acts of righteousness, whatever they are, before men to be seen by them, that's all the reward you get. And so we need to be careful to make sure that we're doing our religion before God so that God will accept it, not just men. Now, he goes on in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 5 to say, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by men. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full." So, you know, going into even something specific religiously like praying, if you're just praying to impress people, then that's the only reward you're going to get, if anybody even gives you one. Most of the time, people don't come up to you and say, "Hey, that was a really good prayer. Wow, you know, that was really encouraging, and thanks so much for praying." Now, sometimes, every once in a while, but most of the time, you know, we don't make those kind of comments on each other's prayers. And so, you know, again, the idea is that we're not praying to be seen or heard by men, but that we're actually praying from our heart to our Father. And then in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 16, he goes on to say, "When you fast," okay, so when you are denying yourself, and especially we think of food for a while, "when you fast, do not look somber as the hypocrites do, for they disfigure their faces to show men that they're fasting. I tell you the truth, they have received their reward in full. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face, so that it will not be obvious to men that you are fasting, but only to your Father who is unseen. And your Father who sees what is done in secret will reward you." So, you know, you don't go around with this long face. And if somebody asks, you know, "Hey, what's going on?" "Oh, I'm fasting, and oh, I'm having a terrible time." No, don't do that. Don't go around with this pained look on your face. Just go on your day normally. And if you've decided to deny your physical body food or anything else for a period of time to discipline yourself for the purpose of godliness, great. But don't do it just so other people will know. Or if somebody asks you what you're doing, don't say, "Well, I'm fasting." You know, like you're better than they are because you're fasting. Hey, it's a spiritual discipline. It's a great thing to do. So do it before God and not just to be seen by men. So it's really important that we practice our religion before God. And so going back to James chapter 1, we want our religion to be accepted by God as pure and faultless. So he says, look after orphans and widows in their distress. Now that's two groups that are, for the most part, pretty needy. A widow has lost her husband. She may not have children, or they might not be able to be in a place to help her. Hopefully they would. Of course, 1 Timothy 5 says that children are to take care of their parents first. And so hopefully a widow would have children. But, you know, being a widow would be a very lonely thing to not have your husband anymore. And so to look after orphans too. Orphans who have either been abandoned by their parents, that would be terrible, or their parents died in an accident or some such thing. But these are two groups of people that are usually not in a real good situation to help themselves. And so that's why James uses them as examples to say, hey, here's two groups of people that you can, in a practical way, help out. And like we just said, don't do it to be seen by men. Don't make a big deal in helping them, but you look after them. You look to find someone that's in that situation and then do your best to make sure that you can do something for them. And so let's be people that give blessings. And we're going to listen to our next song by Laura Story called Blessings. And this song tells us that sometimes even in the midst of trials and tribulations, that there can be great blessings that come from that. And someone, for example, an orphan or widow, their great blessing might come in that we are reaching out to help them in their distress. So let's be that kind of people that live and practice our religion before God. Let's listen to Blessings.
We pray for blessings, we pray for peace, comfort for family, protection while we sleep. We pray for healing, for prosperity. We pray for your mighty hand to ease our suffering. And all the while, you hear each spoken need. Yet love is way too much to give us lesser things. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? What if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? What if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? Pray for wisdom, your voice to hear. And we cry in anger when we cannot feel you near. We doubt your goodness, we doubt your love, as if every promise from your word is not enough. And all the while, you hear each desperate plea, and long that we'd have faith to believe. 'Cause what if your blessings come through raindrops? What if your healing comes through tears? And what if a thousand sleepless nights are what it takes to know you're near? And what if trials of this life are your mercies in disguise? When friends betray or the aching of this life is the reveal. storms, the hardest nights, all your mercies in disguise.
All right, we're back. Let's go ahead and finish off discussing chapter one here in the book of James. You know, what remarkable practical wisdom that James is sharing with God's people, that we be people that look out for others in their distress. And, you know, what a contrast when Jesus lambasted the Pharisees for devouring widows' houses. In other words, taking advantage of their situation. We should never be people to take advantage of someone else's situation, but we should be there to help people out, to help them get ahead, not just by giving them things necessarily, but by coming along beside them and finding ways that we can help them through their distress. So he talks about religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. But then he goes on to say, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Keep oneself from being polluted by the world. Now that sounds pretty strong, okay? You know, I don't know what you think when you think of something being polluted, but the first thing that comes to my mind is, you know, a river that's just got all kinds of pollution in it, or, you know, maybe a coastline that's been polluted by an oil spill, or some such thing like that. Or if you're walking down the street, you see a bunch of garbage or litter on the side of the road that's been polluted. You know, that really doesn't look very good, does it? It takes away from the natural beauty that's going on around it. And so James exhorts us to make sure and keep ourselves from being polluted by the world. What's that talking about? Well, don't let the way that the world lives become a part of your life. Don't practice it. Don't be conformed by the world. Don't give into its, oh, come on, just do what we do because it's fun. Don't just give into that. Don't just be an accomplice, you know, in that, and not stand up and say something when the world wants you to come along. You say, no, thanks. I don't choose to live that way. I choose to live in a way that's honorable and holy before God. And so, you know, strive not to practice those things, and don't be an accomplice in that. You know, the old saying is, if you play around in the mud, you're going to get dirty. And so we don't want to be like that. We've been delivered from that. Now, we need to be merciful and show love as we speak the truth in love, and not just be a bunch of stuck-up righteous people. But still, we need to make sure that we don't allow ourselves to be polluted by the world. Don't hold anything back. Let's listen to our last song by Ryan Stevenson called "I'm Not Holding Anything Back." Don't hold nothing back. Let's listen to Ryan Stevenson.
It's hurting, it's been taking a beating, it's starting to fall apart, and I feel like such an easy target, dodging bullets, I'm exhausted, how can every moment be this hard? I'm holding nothing back from you, it doesn't really matter what I lose, got a heart that's open, I'm broken, and I want you to know. I don't want anything coming in between you and me. Jesus, it doesn't matter what I have to go through. I'm holding nothing back from you. I've got a list that goes on and on. It's overflowing with memories of everything that I've been doing wrong. I'll be the first to say I chased after so many foolish things, looking for a way to kill the pain. Oh, I'm holding nothing back from you, it doesn't really matter what I lose, I it's open. I'm broken, and I want you to know.
Hey, thanks so much for listening again this morning. Don't let the world pollute your life. Be glad that you can walk in the light and walk in the purity and holiness of the perfect law that continues to give us freedom, the law of love in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. If you're listening this morning and maybe we've said some things that have challenged you, maybe they've even made you mad or convicted you, you know, please, we want to talk with you. We want to answer your questions. We want to reason with you about the things of God and to encourage you to pursue Him. We're the Church of Las Vegas. We meet at 3388 South Decatur Boulevard. That's right in between Spring Mountain and Desert Inn. And you can come join us on Sunday morning at 10:30, Sunday evening at 6, or Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock for Bible study and prayer. We'd love to get to know you and to just share life together as we continue to grow in grace and knowledge. You can jump on our website, thechurchatlasvegas.com, thechurchatlasvegas.com. There you can hear these broadcasts. If you look around a little bit, you can find those. You can find videos of preaching and teaching that goes on here. And you can find just a lot of other stuff as well. So we encourage you to do that. Also, you can send us an email through there if you need to. But come and join us. And until that time, keep standing on the solid rock, the rock that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God.